research, you didn't understand, you didn't know what in particular it was for you, but then how do you understand it as a nature in the system? When his mind becomes quiet, and the whole system speaks, and the whole system speaks, and he realizes his identity, and when he realizes his identity, and the whole thing is still for real, and he describes it, and finally, the whole thing is still for real. And if he's a prodigal, he walks his prodigal. The body, chapter 5. This is called internal and external sadness, or two aspects of Adam the Bhakti. External sadness should not be regarded as different from internal sadness, but as the external expression of the internal sadness. So, there is the internal sadness, internal means within yourself, within your mind, is legal karma. Adam Nirvati means when you have some greed awakened. And according to this concept of the pathway, greed can begin at the fractional shredha. Even when you're at the fractional state, your faith may be developed to such an extent that you have some attraction to that intuition right from the beginning. Although you have an outfit, you have some energies and bad things within you, at the same time, you have a real intense attraction to that intuition, to Shambhala or some aspect of the Lord. This is due to some previous contact with it. So we have an effort, we have an actual body, we have to go through sadhana to transcend those. But so that sadhana, which if we have some greed, which is greed to hear about the pastimes of the Lord and to serve the Lord in the holy dawn, this is called due to our service of saints in previous lives and in this life, which is crucified, to give us that greed. We know where the problem is set up. That's one aspect of Sada that is explained. The meaning of Sada is Sada means also an attraction to the Lord. Not the same as Rati, not the same as Asati, where they actually attach to the Lord or Bhava. It's a preliminary type. But anyway, then if one has that, then you can begin to try to practice Maya. The Radha Nirvati, the beginning of Radha Nirvati, it begins to focus upon the fractional smaya with an internal cultivation. But then there's external activities which we do which are not much different. Like, what does it mean, the external activities? It means you think that you're a bhajan to help you remember the pastimes of the Lord. External body and senses. But the meaning of that bhajan is time. You meditate on the sun from Vrindavan and Radha Krishna and the banks of Yamuna. Then you're there and you mentally conceive spiritual body and you're rendering service to them or bobbing their bodies or applying sandal taste to their body or you're finding them with sandal lips. So this is a combination of external and internal sadhana, which is both aspects of our Nirvati. Or won't they return? That's what it's saying. The external is an expression of the internal sadhana. Therefore, the two not only can, but should go on simultaneously. The U.S. mind is should go on with Shravana and Kirtan. Very important. To perform Shravana and Kirtan mechanically without any mental association with mind is not allowed in the way of sadhana. In other words, mechanical kirtan means you're chanting and you have to not remember and go to one another, and you're resting to the tune. That's mechanical, just playing the drum beat for you. You're resting, you're singing melodies to your tune, but you're not applied. You have to not remember. See, that song, the Vasu Mantaka, is a combination of different verses in this kind of song. Externally, but then you can also go into the meaning for everything. And that cannot be Nanda and Bhagavad and Nada. So what is a Nada? What is Nada and Nadiri? And who is a Nada and who is a Nadiri? Nada means time or lover. So the Bhagavad and Nada, that is Krishna, and so is one of the Nadiri, so the Bhagavad and Nada is in the husband. And there is so much pastimes in that song. The song is like pure pastimes. But the Krishna's name, Krishna's most pleased by the names he has described, is pastimes. Those are Rastika names, and those are the names called Kainanam. The means of describing pastimes are produced tangles in the devotion. For example, as you say, Govinda, that means Krishna, the Govinda is called pastime. When you say the name Govinda, you can think of the pastimes as that name is yours. For example, Govinda means one of the expressions of the senses of the gopis, Govinda gopis, and Govinda senses. So Govinda, the word Govinda means to nourish and to increase as one has. So he has to prepare for the gopis. So how does he do that? One way does it, in this name can spark this remembrance of the pastimes. So then it pleases the senses of the gopis, because they, all the sakis, they prepare nice betel for him. They collect some nice pan and betel, and some cardamom to take to, and some tuna, lime paste, and many things, and they combine all these sweet spices together, and they make a nice, and they fold over the pan leaf and they tangle, and they close it with a clove, right? They seal with a clove, and then they present it to the mantis, will give us the leaf of the sucker. Then Radharani and Krishna, you just envision this nice pastime, they're swinging on the jewelry, and the red leaf is on one side, and the sucker's on the other, and they're running sound, and Radha Govinda will go back and forth in the jewelry, and they swing. Then the leaf passes from Deva's hand to Krishna, or Govinda, and then he sees it, and when he's seen it, and he's very satisfied, he's very pleased with Radharani, and he gets two pictures of Radharani, and passes that data to her. And she sees that data from his beautiful Adara on his lips. Then her sense of taste becomes completely satisfied. So Govinda means one who pleases the senses of the gopi. So he pleases Radharani's sense of taste, and of course her whole heart becomes saturated with intoxicated bliss from tasting Krishna's, time. But that's the pastime that one can think of just by saying the name Govinda. And each name is like that. So therefore, prema awakens. And one remembers the names of the Lord, the prema-filled names, which is actually so many prema-filled pastimes, then that prema comes to enter his heart from those pastimes and from those names. So that's called heartfelt or prema-nam. Yeah, prema-nam sankirtan. There's prema-nam sankirtan and there's yantra-nam sankirtan. What is yantra nam and what is prema nam? Yantra means machine. Yantra Vidaya Maya. Your soul is preparing his body with like a machine. Right? Each of us are within a Vidaya Maya. Each of us are within Yantra Vidaya Maya. Because in the Gita, Vidaya Maya. Each of us are within Arjuna Kishthiti. Dhamyam Sarvajitani. Yantra Vidaya Maya. So the Supreme Lord is preparing everyone's heart. This is the verse that God is teaching for. Ishvara, really Ishvara, so Rupanam, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Controller, is situated in everyone's heart, Sarvabhutani, and he's and directing them, just like in the bodies of the Yatra machine, like you say, Rasa Yatra, chariot. Rasa means chariot, but just Yatra, like you say, Yatra is a geometric figure, a mandala, a geometric figure. It has psychic power or psychic power when it's charged with other monsters and creatures called Yantra, Lakshmi Yantra, Sri Yantra, Radha Yantra, so many Yantras are there that people use for different purposes. Machine Yantra, Machine Yantra. For protection, for power, for influence, Machine Yantra. So there's Yantra Nam, and how many windows open? Sankirtan is what's being discussed here, mechanical noun, yantra means machine. But prema noun is actually, you chant, as it's mentioned here, this is the real chanting. So when you're chanting, and you're doing sagana and kirtanam, so this moves, then it becomes Radhanuga Bhakti. Radhanuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana and Radhanuga Sadhana are very similar. But the application, the intensity of the application is different. And Vaidhi Sadhana is chanting here, sagana and kirtanam. And also in Radhanuga, but it's how you do it. What is the application? Vaidhi is mechanical. It's yama niyama. That's after you turn a sense of you like this, you like that. So that's automatically what we put in Radhanuga. Because Radhanuga doesn't worry about the do's and don'ts. Because once in Radhanuga, they said, if you people are so worried about the offenses, you're always looking over your shoulders. And I think, well, nothing needs first offense, nothing needs second offense. I didn't offend any bystanders today. I didn't listen to the errors in the first and last day. But this is all, you know, you're operating out of the negative. You're just simply operating from the negative platform. Avoid this one, avoid that one. You know, I avoided the pen, I'm a real case. But forget about that. Just try to understand, what does the Holy Name mean? What do you see the ego in the Holy Name? Do you see the loving oneness of God and Christians and dying the ego root? Do you understand the factor behind the name? You're finding a full consciousness of the meaning of the name. Rather you can emphasize the meaning of the name and understanding of the name, then automatically your senses, you're down there. It's like when you're flying below the clouds, you have to worry about where are the clouds, where are the mountains. When you're flying below altitude, and the guy's looking at the window, oh, where are those Andes, where are the mountains, where are the clouds, and where are you dressing and driving. But a big plane, big powerful plane, they have so much precise driving and everything, which a little plane doesn't have. They see the clouds and the mountains, they just pull back on the throttle and put the flaps down. And they go up about 5 miles above, you know, 35,000 feet. 38,000 feet, or that's like seven miles above, you know, the ocean. And it's true, you know, clear blue sky. They don't think about the clouds. They don't think about, there's no mountains up there, there's no clouds up there, just a vast firmament and vast expanse of clear blue sky. Huh? And they just enjoy the floating of their thoughts, and there's no worry, no concern, no fear. So, Bhakti Bhakti is a platform of worry, concern, and fear. The fear of the wrath of God, the fear of making offenses, the fear of this and that. It's characterized by fear because there's no love, there's no intimacy. It's all formality, all in reverence. So when the relationship is all in reverence, it's a boss, one to say you're getting fired. You know, if you have the all in reverence of the landlord and the tenant, you just say you're getting kicked out or something. So when the relationship is based on love, there's no question getting kicked out, there's no question getting tired, there's no fear in the relationship, there's no distance. One person's interest is the same as the other person's interest, there's no separation. Krishna loves the devotees and the devotees love Krishna. It's not us and them. We're all together, it's us. I am for Krishna and Krishna is for me. And he explains that nice chapter in the same story is in my heart, and I'm always in their heart. What can you learn from looking at? They have no other thought from me, and I have no other thought from them. It's just the same. Why? What is that bondage? What is that oneness? What is that connection? What is that union that brought the saints into the heart of the Lord, and brought the Lord into the heart of the saints? That bondage, that union, that magnetic force is love. Transcendental love, which is based on service and surrender. The devotee wants to serve the Lord at all costs, in all ways, in all times, in all places. And he's ready to surrender any circumstance to do that service, to love the Lord and serve the Lord. And when the Lord sees that, he's captivated by that, he's controlled by that, he's enamored by that, he's enchanted by that, he's captivated by it. And he's won by that. And then he comes to serve that devotee in all circumstances, and to love that devotee in all places and times. And so he enters into that devotee's heart, and he opens his heart, so he comes into my heart. It's like Hanuman, when the people challenge Hanuman, oh Hanuman, you're a monkey. You're a good little monkey, how can you have that? He said, no, the bird is in my heart, Ram is in my heart. Krishna is in my heart, Lakshmi is in my heart, they're there. And I'm serving them, always in my heart. Come on, you're a monkey, that's not possible. You want to see? And he looks up in his chest, and inside there it was. He's in Ram, Lakshmi, Hanuman is also there, another form. His inner form. So like that, the Lord enters our heart and lives there and has pastimes there. And every time you went to Santipur and you got sick instead of going to Vrindavan, you said more amount of Vrindavan have it. Your mind is Vrindavan. Wherever you are, your mind and heart is Sukhdev. Your mind and heart is Vrindavan. Wherever you are, you're serving the Lord. When Radha has entered your heart, Krishna has entered your heart. And we told a story once when somebody challenged Prabhupada in Bombay. And said, Prabhupada, this is another one, it says in Gita, Satisam Kriti Yantamam, Yatantista Dida, was it? Yatantista Dida, there's that verse, 9th chapter, Gita chapter, verse 14. Satyatam Kripyantama, the Tantra Kripyantama, the Tantra says that the devotees, the Satyatam Kripyantama, they're always chanting our glory. They're always chanting our Krishna. So Prabhupada, you know, it says here that a devotee, a pure devotee, is always chanting Krishna's name. So you say, you know, you have so many followers, and it's kind of assumed you're the divine grace, you're the great guru, you're the Sri Mad, you're the big guru. You're supposed to always be chanting Krishna's name, but I see that you're sitting here talking to devotees in this room conversation, and you're telling your drama show about Kunti's book and Kunti's book, and you're talking on the phone. That doesn't seem like you're chanting. I don't see you chanting. So I don't think you're a pure devotee. So that was all. All right, you come here. You put your ear to my chest, my back. To my back, and then you see. And that person, an Indian man, he got up. So he himself was a very Indian man. Years later, when he came to the back of the Vila Mutha, another devotee who they also witnessed it. He came up and he put his ear on the back of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was just speaking to the devotee. And he heard inside, he couldn't believe it, he heard inside Prabhupada's chest, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But then he's inside Prabhupada's heart, he's worshiping Radha and Krishna, he's singing the Nam Kirtan, in his heart. So his activities are expressing to the glove. So he may be chastising one devotee and praising another, or thinking Bhagavad Gita, or arranging for some mahotsav externally. But that's all expressing to the same. His external expression to the glove for Radha and Krishna. And within his heart, he's serving them very intimately with Shravanam and Kirtanam and so many wonderful intimate favors in his monthly rupa, chakra rupa, whatever his quote is. Because in the spiritual world, all service is accompanied by singing. That's why when Brahma had darshan in the spiritual world, he said, hey, wow, look at this. Look what I'm seeing. I see that everyone's just running around dancing. And every step is a dance. And every word is a song. Everyone is simply singing over there in that place. They're just singing, just Amrit Yuk. It's just Amrit, it's nectar and sweet speaking and singing. Because they're serving and singing, and singing and serving. I mean, Prabhupada once said that singing is the science of self-realization. And when one is self-realized, he's always singing. If he is always singing. Because he's full. He's full of Krishna, and Krishna is full of music. Krishna's a master musician, Radharani's a master musician. They're always singing and dancing. What else are they doing? He's playing flute for the cows, he's playing flute for his boyfriends, he's playing flute for his girlfriends. And the elderly gopis say, hey, can you guys play a little song in your flute? Can you play your panpipe? You have panpipes, you have flute. But Krishna's always playing, he's always singing, and he's always playing his flute. The whole world is moving on the sound of Krishna's flute. So when the devotees are living in it, that's the root, and they're serving the Lord, they're always singing. They're always singing in the spiritual world. They're doing so many services. They're picking flowers and they're singing. They're cooking and they're singing. Always singing. So what are they singing? Nam-kirtan, singing Nam-kirtan. So when that person put his ear to Prabhupada's back, he got to hear what Prabhupada was doing in his heart, in his spirit. Prabhupada's rendering so many services he was in. So Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan was in his heart, and his simultaneously was singing there also. And for that person's benefit, he allowed him to hear what was important for him to hear. He allowed him to hear Prema Nam. Yuga Nam, Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's right, I think Krishna Krishna's Baba, who traveled with Jagadguru, Mr. Bhakti Chandra Saraswati, he was a Babaji. And he was sick, so they called a doctor. And many people were there, and they witnessed it. And the doctor put the stethoscope, no stethoscope, and they put on the chest and they go, oh, you know, cough, or, you know, take a deep breath. They put on the chest, and he was just sitting there, and the doctor, his eyes were becoming very big, he was becoming very astonished and very bewildered and amazed. What am I doing? I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm here, and he goes to Yogi Pati, or whatever his name is, Pati Bhinga Govinda Maharaj, and some other devotees that are there, and they called the doctor, and they took his thing on, and they looked at each other, and then they went back to the doctor, and so they asked the doctor, well, what are you here? And well, I don't know, what are you here? Everyone was afraid to say, they couldn't believe, they thought they were going crazy or something. and say, well, I heard the Hydra come out there and try to fight. I didn't hear it. Lub, dub, lub, dub, lub, dub. You know, the Hydra, lub, dub, lub, dub, lub, dub. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. So, this is the Hydra, if you're devoted. Krishna's in your heart. Mary can have a Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The transcendental body. So to perform seven imitation mechanically without any mental association or smarana is not the Radha-Nuga way of sadhana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that this kind of mechanical performance of seven and kirtan will not bring about Krishna prema even if it's performed life after life. That same point, oh, there it is. That same point is mentioned in Adi Lila, chapter 15, verse 14. Bahu Janma Parijari Savana Kirtan Sabusa Napaya Krishna Paritrema Dhan. Bahu Janma Parijari Savana Kirtan Sabusa Napaya Krishna Paritrema Dhan. Please repeat. Bahu, many, Janma, birth, Kare, thus, Jadi, if, seven, hearing, kirtan, chanting, sabu, still, sa, in spite of, na, does not, kaya, yet, Krishna pade, lotus feet of Krishna, prema dan, love of Godhead. Translation. If one is infected with the ten offenses and is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. And Bhakti Santa Saraswati says in relation to this verse, he says, unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can go on chanting for many, many births and will not be able to overcome the offenses. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can overcome the offenses. That's why it's called an exercise that we chant Pancha Tattva. And chanting the offenses, he can prevent the other song and the other song. And the other song is the same. Between each song, we sometimes chant. To invoke the mercy. And moreover, it says we invoke the teachings, it's the life and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the mercy comes to the teachings. So he taught us, he didn't really talk so much about what the ten offenses. He taught us this formula for perfection and chanting. He said, you want to attain perfection and chanting? Lord Chaitanya said, then you do this. The oddities and these things after all is up to Hishana. A money, no money, then I sit in this letter. You have to be hungry. You have to be tolerant. Humble and tolerant is four things. If you're humble and tolerant, and free from false pursuits, and ready to honor others. You don't want any respect for yourself. You're not a big anything. You don't deserve to be respected. You're not a big famous person, you're not a big name this, a big thing that, big position that, you're nothing. You're nothing. What are you? You're nothing. You're no love of God, you're a different story in the material world. What are you? You're nothing. You don't deserve any respect or honor or anything. That's all insecure. And then, at the same time, everyone is better than you. Everyone, in so many different ways, people are better than you. Everyone, you can find something better in everyone than you. And that's to be honored and respected. That makes that person, that alone, makes that person worthy of your respect. And a higher vision is to see your yesterday within their heart. So the Madhyam Bhakta, he begins to see his history within the higher level living energy. To worship your Guru-Raj in the room is one thing. To see your Guru-Raj in the heart of Bhakta Joe and Bhakta Mary and everybody, that's another level of vision. That's real. It's not imagined. It's not something you can imitate. You have to attain that vision by purity. Purity of heart. So there's two ways, two different aspects of how one can respect everyone. But if one realizes and acts on these four principles, they'll automatically find a principle tree and automatically make a quick advancement. So they can understand do these things. So that's why Bhakti Sanjay Saraswati said, if one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then very easily you can overcome the 10 offenses. The four point programs of success in training Hare Krishna. Be humbler than a blade of grass, be more tolerant than a tree, lay offer all respect to everyone. Just like in Dina Krishna's Bhava, Sri Krishna Das, we take the name Dina Krishna Das. Sri Krishna Das in Govardhan, he's saying, Sumanda Yashoda Jaya, Jaya Gopada. Sigamari Jaya, Jaya, Dhanu Vatsa Jam. So he's saying there, he's saying all glory to Nanda Maharaj, all glory to the Yashoda, all glory to the cow boys, all glory to the Dhanus and the Vatsas, all glory to the cows, all glory to the calf. And so other sides, they glorify all the animals. In fact, in Vrindavan Mahima, Mahimami said, by traveling the Saraswati, he says, look at the pigs. I see the pigs in Vrindavan. And I think, oh, how filthy, how dirty. How dirty they're eating stool and sleeping in the gutters, all this mud, and they're covered with mud all over their heads, and just, you know, stool on the end of their nose, and just filth. But what are they doing? What is the actual essence of their behavior? They are just a different set of occasion in a very abominable form. But I am the same way. I am also just a different set of occasion. So I am just like a priest of Vrindavan. We think, how haram, haram, the Muslims say, because Muslims can't eat pigs. They're horrible for them. They're gored by a wild pig. They say, haram, haram. And wild pigs and boar would just touch them and kill them with their powerful and ferocious with their corners that they would kill them. Haram, how horrible. So they want these pigs, and then but they're these cows, and the Hindus want these cows and they're these pigs, and then they're back and forth. So these three were pigs, and it's so abominable, so horrible. But actually, they're still sensitive to the pigs. They're addicted to the sensitive to the pigs. So they're addicted to the cruel, so I'm addicted to the horrible. They won't eat a plate of holiday by sitting in front of them, and I won't eat a plate of stew. But I'm addicted to holiday. So I'm torn off of stew. So this is how self-effacing he is, or what I mean to say. They want it. People sometimes say to something like, well, then God is not a pig every year. But they're reminding you, Baba, that you're also a pig. You're also full of pig-like desires to enjoy this body. They're enjoying that body. That body is a facility for processing too. Your body is a facility for processing ice cream and holiday. And pizza pies. And, you know, whatever other unforbidden things you eat. Undiluted or whatever. You're saying for those pig-like uncontrolled expenses. You're a pig-like thing. So that, to see that within ourselves, yes, I'm still full of this pig-like desire for the pure thing. Actually, he just knows about my God. What is the essence of this animal? Sense enjoyment. And I'm the same way. I want sense. I want to enjoy my senses. So I'm no better than a filthy pig in the gutters of Vrindavan. So I'm living in Vrindavan, but yet I'm full of these pig-like, filthy desires and the pure enjoyment. How despicable. How fallen. How deplorable. And you call yourself a sannyasi. You call yourself, I'm a sannyasi. I'm Brahmin, Baba. I'm XYZ, I'm BBC. It's actually gone, 100%. And when that goes, then you can respect everyone and see something good in everyone. You can see a bhakta or a bhakti and you say, just I have to respect this person. They're better than me. This person can cook, I can't cook. So I respect him for that. In the material world, why do you respect people? Because they're wealthy, because they're famous. You respect them because of opulence, right? Like the politicians, we respect them because of the power. A movie star, we respect them because of their beauty and fame. So they're someone, oh, that's my job. Oh, that's awesome. feel like the ice is going and running up, and all of that premature. For the structure, for the beauty, for the fame. Coming up, inside, it's a perfect time for a 99 books. And all this, oh, big knowledge, big vibe, chapter 80. So we respect people for some access, for some ability, for some skill, for some knowledge. Because the littlest devotee, oh, they know something, they have knowledge I don't have. They have knowledge of teaching. I can't cook. Therefore, you're worthy of my respect. I'm the guy in the basement. You go and cook here the people, big bhakti, bhavas, and devotees. No matter who you are, what you are, you come in off a basement, then they offer a basement to you. They don't think, oh, wait a minute, who's disciple you? Are you bhava's disciple, or are you Hare Krishna's disciple? Oh, what color is your skin? Are you white? You're not Indian, I don't offer basement to you. You're white, you're black, you're a Western person, get out. They don't discriminate. I've had experience. This is absolute self-effacing humility. No false ego at all. Lady comes in, fat lady, Gujarati lady, Western man, anybody, they can relate to. And this person's been doing bhajan for 65 years in the Bank of Radhikan. Born in a Brahmin family in South India. You know, never touched a woman in his life, celibate his whole life. Never touched, never broke the principles his whole life. Spending 64 rounds and days and 60 years. And you come in out of, you know, just got crawled out of sewers of material life in New York City or Frankfurt or, wherever. And you offer the basement to you. I mean, it shatters you. You can't just start to cry. It's like offering a basin just to get paid. So therefore, the Sri Krishna is saying, Dana Vasudana, it should offer respect to the cows, to the cats, offer respect to the monkeys, offer respect to everyone in their lives. Open it to everyone. And one can have that, when one's ego is that clean and that free. And faith is not sentimental. Based on how you're raised, or the actual value of others, the actual position of others. Either the highest realization you're talking with in your heart, whether you're gone down to the grave, how you're dying down in front of you, and about to drill down in front of you, if you're seen that way. That's what they see. Or the other way is you have this understanding, this person is more than me. I can't sing, this person can sing. I respect that often, I respect to that. Your ability to sing for Krishna, I don't know. So many levels. So, if you know how to feed, sing, and sing after the least person, one can sing. It's so cool. And who are you? You're nothing. No, I can do so many things. I'm so skilled, I'm so powerful. You don't know what I can do. I'm very powerful. I've done so much in my life, in my 25 years. I've accomplished so many things. I've gone here and gone there, I've done so many things. In my 35 years, do you know who I am? I'm so-and-so. Oh, excuse me, I didn't know that. So you told me all about yourself, I didn't know how great you were. I didn't know you were the second God. Now that you told me, I should, get out the telephone and begin the puja. This is a problem, man. Big ego. They're absolutely worthless, stuck at nothingness. I think they're so great. And we get inflated. It's the nature of the ego to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like a balloon. It's a balloon that you can inflate to unlimited proportions. As a little balloon, when you're a kid, you get a little balloon. And you let it go. Flies around the room, right? And it makes a lot of noise and everyone laughs. And then you go up and then you go to some fair or something and you see a wooden balloon. Some guy, you go to the movies and you see, around the world, maybe Days or something, and some guy, big balloon, wow, it's such a big balloon, how'd I get air inside there? The guy blows it up? No, there's a machine, it's helium or whatever. So our ego is like unlimited helium balloon, it just goes up as far as the sky. It expands as high as the stars and goes in all directions. Crosses all seas, like a big balloon, then goes across the ocean, like a big balloon, like peace, and those balloons, or whatever they call them, sky gondolas or something, like an angel, and they can go all the way across oceans and countries, and it goes across Germany, and big balloons and stuff, and the paper. Our ego is like that, when it crosses the universe, and the balloon of our ego. As explained in the Vedas, Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagyavani Dhi. Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagyavani Dhi. That the Jeev and his ego, in the balloon, in the gondola, his ego balloon, he is traveling from universe to universe, from Brahmanda to Brahmanda. And so he comes to this point, when he comes to that point, then he can get real. Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagyavan. That's the 14th jiva. Bhagyavan. Van means to get, but you say Bhagavan. Janavan, Janavan, Mam Bhagavante. Janavan. Bahunam Janmanamante. Bahunam Janmanamante. Janavan Mam Bhagavante. After many, many births, Bahunam Janmanamante. Janavan. Someone has knowledge. What is that knowledge? What is that vidvan? Because that knowledge makes one fortunate. What is that fortune? Bhagyavana jiva. Bhagyavana jiva, that jiva, that living energy, that soul, he holds on to, he possesses fortune or bhagya when he has knowledge. Bahunam Jaimanamantra, this is in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 19. Bahunam Jaimanamantra, Janavan, Manasa Bhagavantra. When he has Janavan, Bhagyavan means Janavan. Bhagyavana Jiva means Janavan. What is that Janavan? That he's Prabhupada's mom, Prabhupada's soul. After many, many births, he surrenders to Krishna. That is true knowledge. And what is that true knowledge? That true knowledge is his birth. He becomes humble. Because it's said that a man of intelligence, a real knowledge, he is humble. He is decorated by the bhushanam of humility. Dhanya. Dhanya bhushanam. The ornament of humility. The most learned men in this world, and ladies who are never, they're often decorated with the quality of humility. When either Newton or Einstein was glorified for his vast knowledge as a Newton, he was studied from the science formula or whatever the other year. And he was still glorifying, he said, actually, I've only collected a few pebbles and few grains of sand on the beach of unlimited knowledge. I've collected, he made discoveries, he made some scientific discoveries in formula or whatever, and was honored for it, and respected for it, and distinguished for it, but he was very humble. Despite all that, he was very humble. He says, what have I done? I've collected a few grains of sand and a beach of knowledge, and unlimited beach of knowledge. So much more there. What have I done? I've done nothing. So this is the, after traveling the balloon of our ego throughout some of the universes, finally we let it out. When that, like you're letting out that balloon when you're pretty broke, you're going, and you let it go, and it lands you don't know where. So when you let all the air out of your ego, when you let all the falsity of life out of your ego, when it flies all around the universe, and then it lands on the feet of Guru, then you can begin spiritual life. And that's called Mantra Padmante, Janavan Mantra Padmante. And that's the Bahunam Janmanamante, Janavan Mantra Padmante, that's the same as Mantra Padmante called Bhagyavanji. Bhagyavanji, that's the fortunate people who come to this intelligent conclusion that I am nothing. I'm good nothing. All my education, all my learning, all my high birth, all my good looks, all my wealth, all my experience, all my travel, all my acquaintances, all my so much, all is nothing. It all adds up to zero. That's how it said, right? What is it? All your attainments, all your accomplishments, there's so many zeros if there's no Krishna there. So if you have a bank account, it's, so many zeros. But there's no deficit there. There's no one or two or three in front of them. What is your balance? Oh, look at my book. Zero, 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 comma, zero, 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 comma, zero, 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 zero. Hey, Baba. You've got nothing in your bag, man. No, I have so many, look, I have so many deposits I made and so many worked so hard and so many deposits. I mean, it's done, so you don't have anything to get. You have nothing to sell. You lived for 90 years, and what have you done? You've done nothing. You don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you came from. And no realization of God. You lived a whole life of illusion and shame and disappointment and hypocrisy. Now, what will happen to you? Your life ends up a big zero. So, this is the point. The kind of sadhana, especially when he wants to follow the practice, is found in his teachings to Gautama Swami. He asked Gautama Swami to practice bhajan under the guidance of Sri Damodar. But Raghunath also wanted to get some instructions directly from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri told Mahaprabhu about this, Mahaprabhu laughed. Then Mahaprabhu told Raghunath, look, I've appointed Sarupa as your teacher. He'll tell you everything about sadhya, the goal, and sadhana. I don't know as much as he knows. Still, if you have faith in my words, listen to what I say. Know this to be the substance of my teaching. Amani manada krishna namaskari labe bhaja rade rade krishna keva manasai karive. This is an Anti Leela Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 6, verse 335. Amani manada krishna namaskara labe braja rada krishna seva manasya karide. Amani manada krishna namaskara labe braja rada krishna seva manasya karide. Being humble and respectful to others, always chant the name of Krishna and serve Radha and Krishna and braja in your within your mind. Hare Hare Krishna. So that's when he wanted to sing too. So that's he went to Mahaprabhu and said, please, I want to be a disciple. He said, no, I want you to learn from the Sri Ramana. He can do it. He'll teach everything. He said, no, I want you to tell me something too. Sadhya sadhana tatsyasi anstika inharasthan amika kanahi jani ino tatajan. You may learn, Gautama Swami, you may learn from Sarup what your duty is and how to discharge it. I do not know as much as he knows. In other words, your sadhya and your sadhana tatsya, sita, sita and sita, and sita and guru, sani, the standing of him. Amika kanahi jani, amika kanahi. I don't know as much as he knows. He knows the goal of life, the sadhya, he knows how to sadhana tattva, the truth of sadhana, the substance, how to explain it. But every time I have to reply to Dr. Swami, and Dr. Swami, look, I want a new guru. I'm not satisfied with this guru. I want another guru. I want to go to a higher guru. The third one, though, he's pretty good, but you know, I don't know what to do. You're like the Rakshita and Rak combined. You're the very, really Rakshiraj and the Mahabharata. That's a very, really true. Because I want to change you. And he said, look. And he says, Takapiyama Ajya, Sada Jarijan, Amara E Bhaktikari Kariyama Sada. Nevertheless, if you want to take instructions from me with faith and love, you may ascertain your duty from the following words. Gramya kata na sunide, gramya bhaita na kahide, bhala na kahide, or bhala na paride. Do not talk like people in general, or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you reject their message. Now this verse 237. Amani manarahana, krishna na saralade, gaja gaja krishna seva manase paride. Amani, not expecting. Amani is the same concept. Maybe you can learn that practice concept. Amani, Amani, doing that. So, you know, all the people who come up today, what's the name of Amani, they say, Amani, Amani, Manada, Amani, Amani. Do not expect honor, but offer respect to others. Always chant the name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind, and your service to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. But he reads Prabhupada's books, and he reads the teachings of Prabhupada's books, and says here, Vraja Radha Krishna Seva Manase Karide. Karide, you should do. Who is you shouldn't? Who is you? Das Goswami. Well, I'm also a Das. I'm also a Dasi. You should do. What? Radha Krishna, Vraja Radha Krishna Seva Manase Karide. You should, in your mind, you should say Radha Krishna in your mind. And how will you be able to do that? If you're Amani Manada. And if you're Amani, if you don't accept any honor, then you can be Manada. You can give honor to others. Then if that's your position, then Krishna Nam Sadalabha. Loving means Lobha. Loving means greed. Lobha and happy. You'll attain, you'll acquire. You'll be able to Krishna Nam Sada. Krishna Sada Hari. Krishna Bhari, Katatam Kriti Antama, always chanting my glory. Katatam, Krishna Sadahari, always chanting Krishna's glory. So, Krishna Sadalabha, you attain. You have greed, always chanting Krishna's glory. If you're Amani, Amanada. If you're sad. Whatever you can do. Then, once that position is there, then what do you do? Now your mind is pure. Now what can you place in your mind? You can establish Vrindavan in your mind. Vraja. Then who's in Vrindavan? Radha and Krishna. And what do you do when you establish Radha and Krishna in your mind? You serve them. Because if you have a house, you have a room, and somebody comes inside, you must be serve them. You want some drink, you want some food, you want some use the water, you want to use a place to serve. You serve them. Your room is like, you know, it's your place.